I'm Brittany Page, and this is the Pages Podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm joined here today with my Aunt Sherry and Uncle Mark, Sherry and Mark Logan, and then my cousin Ryan Logan. And we're here today to talk about his experience with finding an AVM and how their lives have changed from that.
An AVM is something that believed that you're born with. They believe it develops 4 to 8 weeks in utero, and it is basically I like to call it a rubber band ball of arteries and veins, that there's no capillaries, it's just like a big old ball. And so the blood rushes straight from the arteries into the veins without the capillaries slowing it down, and so there's lots of aneurysms, and they can bleed, and most of the time, that's usually the first symptom of someone that has one, is a brain bleed or seizures. So those are the two things you look for, but most people don't even, or probably 50% don't have even any symptoms at all. But anyways, that's what an AVM is. Do you want to say anything about yourself? What you used to do?
Oh, I used to play football.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Very athletic.
Yeah. What was your nickname?
Bullet.
Yeah. Nickname was Bullet because he was so fast. I said, he's like a bullet out there.
Oh.
So, yeah. He didn't get that from me, but.
Not me either.
Must be some uncle over there.
Yeah. Maybe Grandpa.
Yeah, Grandpa. Yeah, there you go. There you go. So I guess we could start by when he was diagnosed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was diagnosed in what, sixth grade? So he was...
He was 11.
He was
11.
Yeah.
And he was playing football, and he had some headaches with some visual disturbances, and he had been in a football game, so they just thought it was maybe like a concussion or something like that, even though we don't really remember any type of hit like that. But anyways, he'd had them in the past, too. About every 6 months, he'd have an excruciating headache with visual disturbances, and then you wouldn't hear anything else from him because he's not a complainer at all. Mm-hmm. So finally he started having the visual disturbances without the headaches. Every day he kept saying, Mom, I can't see out of my left side, peripheral mm-hmm. vision. Mm-hmm. So that's when our journey began. I said, there's something not right with this. This has gone on too long.
20 or 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. I started talking to, so I'm in medical sales, so I know a lot of doctors, and I talked to a mutual friend of mine, and he's an eye doctor, mm-hmm. and just explained what was going on, and, you know, he's like, well, that's really weird, we can come in, maybe we had him eye tested, and like, he's 20/20, so there's nothing wrong with his eyes, mm-hmm. so I'm like, well, it's got to be something else, and then, kept talking to a lot of people. And
went to neurologists. They're like, I don't know. Maybe it's migraines.
Yep. And then
we went to
an ENT thinking maybe, you know, it could be something else.
I thought maybe it was a sinus blockage of some sort. Yeah, I don't even know. We tried everything.
Right. And so, but this ENT, he used to be in the ward. And so he was like a medic on a ship. He saw all kinds of things. And he's like, I want you to go see this guy. That's Dr. Simmons, right?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Simmons, a neurologist here.
A neurologist. Mm-hmm. And he ended up running an EEG, right?
No, he ran an MRI with an MRA, which is basically through the arteries and veins, and you can see any blockages or anything like that. And by 2 o'clock that afternoon, we'd had our diagnoses. So I had taken him to go get hooked up to an EEG because they were going to just see what was going on as far as any type of seizure activity or something, even though we hadn't seen anything like that. They were just kind of running every test they could think of, and he said, well, actually, you need to come in my office. And he said, yeah, his MRI, MRA was definitely not normal, and he said he has what we call an arteriovenous malformation or an AVM. So we were like, oh, my gosh. Turns out it was, they had diagnosed with a grade 5. They're graded. And I don't want to bore people with too much of the medical stuff, but I'm a former nurse, so I like to read up on these things and talk about them. But basically, it's pretty much one of the biggest size you can have, and they grade them by where they are. His was in his right occipital, which means it was his vision area for his left peripheral. Mm-hmm. So that's where all this, the blood was being stolen by around the tissue around his eyesight. So that's where he was losing the vision throughout the day when the blood was, the AVM steals the blood from tissues around it. So anyways, so we were told, it actually ended up being a grade four, but whatever. Grade four is usually you don't really operate on. Yeah, it's a really large one in a very eloquent area deep in the brain. So they said, don't do anything. It's too dangerous.
Yeah. I have to just pause real quick. Sure. Just going back to what you were saying previously. We were fortunate that Ryan did show symptoms, and it took us like months to even find out what it was.
Right.
And so a person with AVM basically has a bomb in their body. It could go off at any time. Could be a mild rupture, a mild bleed, and they're fine. Or a lot of times these kids will just, they die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like instantly, and they don't even know what they had, you know?
Yeah.
We hear that all the time.
So at least we were blessed to at least know what it was and have a chance to fight it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And only 1% of Americans have it, so we've actually talked to doctors that didn't even know what it was.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a lot of the medical background, but just so people know what we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
But so they said don't do anything, and then he actually had a minor brain bleed when he was 12, like about 9 months later after we found out he had one. And he did recover. He spent 3 days in the hospital. But he recovered fully after about a month of that, and they decided it was way too, unstable, that we really needed to probably deal with this because you do have an increased chance of it bleeding again once it bleeds.
Well, initially they told us, don't touch it. And we consulted doctors all around the country, and the only thing they agreed on was we could do more harm than good, so don't touch it. Mm-hmm. But then, because he had brain bleed at such a young age, then they all agreed you need to do something.
Yeah.
But it's difficult because different doctors would say different things.
Oh, yeah. We had, let's say out of three of the doctors, one said, you can either do nothing until it bleeds and hope that he lives through the bleed and then we deal with it, or just open surgery, which is extremely, extremely risky with something that big, or you can, that was his option. The other one was don't do anything but gamma knife, which is like radiation to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to give him a lot, like for several weeks, I think, every day of the week, maybe 5 days a week. So there's a lot of risk to that too. And it can still bleed because it usually takes about 3 years for the full effects of that to happen. So you're still at risk for bleeding. And then the one that we eventually chose was do embolization, where they go up to the groin and shoot glue around it to make the surgery less risky, and then the next day remove it. Well, during the embolization, it did something really rare and shut down completely, and he had a massive brain hemorrhage on the operating table. Mm-hmm. So thank God Dr. Chin is who was doing the, he's a neurointerventional radiologist, but he's also a neurosurgeon, so he was able to stop the bleeding and open his skull up and do all that. So it was really shocking, and I felt really, really bad because we had to pick, you know, you just wonder if you pick the right thing, but.
Yeah. Well, and typically, an interventional radiologist is not in the room with a neurosurgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we thank God for Dr. Chin, because he's both.
Yeah.
Because he found us and 100%. You know, asked permission to drill a hole in his head to remove the pressure. You know, the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
At this point, you know, we've been thinking beforehand, there wasn't any research being done. It's rare, and so we were thinking, you know, what are we going to do? We're not just going to sit here and wait for something bad to happen. We got to do something.
And
that was kind of in the back of our head before really,
when we started exploring, you know, starting a research foundation, because, you know, you hear about this stuff, you start doing research and trying to find who's doing, you know, what's out there, and they're really not much at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're like basically go on and live your life and hopefully nothing happens. Mm-hmm. So we're like, you know.
And you know, one
not good enough.
Yeah. And one thing that really I struggled with, and I still do a little bit, was I just remember it's one of the first times in my life that I literally gave 100% of it to God. It was out mm-hmm. of my hands. You know, you can say, oh, give it to God. And you say, oh, God, please, you know, this or that. Yeah. Usually we talk to him when we need something, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But he knows. But I remember just being like, having this, totally gave it to him because it was completely out of our control. Oh. There's nothing we can do. We did not know what, should we do this treatment? Should we do this one? Should we not do anything? And mm-hmm. we finally had the most peace I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
I mean, I just was like, this is what we need to do. I feel, you know, I don't necessarily, I mean, I thought everything was going to be okay, but I just had such peace. I've never had peace like that in my life. And then mm-hmm. when that happened, I was just like, how can you have that much peace and things are going to go so bad mm-hmm. and you have no idea? So I'm like, well, I gave it to you, and it's not that he made it happen, but he allowed it to happen, and I just could not understand. But I think looking back, it's been 9 years, that I really think he didn't promise me nothing bad's going to happen. He just promises he'll be there for you mm-hmm. and he will get you through it. You know, one thing, I don't know if you remember something that Ryan always says is, well, he brought you to it. He's going to get you through it.
Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. he's amazing. He teaches me things all the time. But mm-hmm. so we're in ICU.
Not all good things.
But. Yeah, not necessarily good stuff. That I'm doing. But we're so blessed that we have him. I mean, I know, but that's not always the case. And mm-hmm. so I do thank God for that. And, you know, it really brings you a lot more empathy towards people. Like, my heart's just
for sure.
just grown so much for people that struggle or have, you know, health issues, especially when it's your child, because I really don't think there's anything worse than losing a child. Or, you know, I'd rather it be me. You know, I'm an adult. I can handle it. But, well, he can handle it too, apparently. Matter of fact, he helps us handle it, unfortunately. But anyway, so in the back of our minds, we were like, we got to do something. And when this happened, we're like, this is just not acceptable. And so, yeah. You know, he was in PICU, the pediatric intensive care unit, for 6 weeks on a ventilator. He had numerous procedures, complications, all kinds of stuff. His skull was off for 3 weeks to let the swelling go down. And he had feeding tube, and you know, had to learn to walk and talk and eat again and all that. But while we were in ICU, Mark started talking to Dr. Chin, because he would come check on him all the time. And then...
yeah, no, he came every day.
Yeah, and then...
yeah, we were just talking, you know, and he's like, you know, it's such a bad thing. He's like, I really, you know, think I know how to do it. It's just having the time, the money, the resources, and all that. And
but I think you said you wanted to do it first.
To find...
yeah, so I told him, I said, you know, we first found out about this, and, you know, they're basically like, go home and live your life. We're like, we got to do something. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is something that we wanted to do. We kind of already started the process. I can't remember if we'd already gotten our EIN yet or no. But anyway, so mm-hmm. after we talked that day, then it started, you know, forming. And we're like,
he said, he said, I know what to do. I've been wanting to do it. I don't have the money or the mm-hmm. resources or the time. So that's when we started the AVM Research Foundation.
Remember what he said? He said, I mean, how did these things start? He said, usually a pissed off mom.
Yeah.
Yes. I think of like mothers and
Oh, yeah. A lot of these places, you know, it's just parents get together and they're like, this isn't acceptable. And I'd actually been to another hospital beforehand. He was being seen by another hospital before it bled. And I went down to the head of the research man. I don't know what he's called, but, knows about all the research going on in the hospital. And I said, you know, do y'all have any AVM research going on? And he's like, what's that? And I was like, well, that's obvious. You don't have any going on if you don't know what it
clearly
is.
Not.
So I asked him, and he said, no, we don't have anything like that. And I said, well, how does that get started? And he also said, you know, usually a bunch of ticked off parents mm-hmm. come in here and they...
because it has to start with private funding. And then if you get enough clinical data where you can prove
that you're making a then progress,
you'll file for the, you know, for the grants in NIH funding, which we finally got there.
Yeah, we finally, it's been 9 years, but Yeah, we've just gotten some pretty decent grants, but so we started that. We have two fundraisers, main ones a year. Mm-hmm. It's a golf tournament in Crawfish Boil, which mm-hmm. we're about to have mm-hmm. Coming up at Crawfish Boil. But we've been able to give Dr. Chin over $1.3 million right now. It sounds like a lot, and it is. It's amazing, but research is out of this world expensive. Mm-hmm. But we're so grateful. We've had wonderful community friends and family like that just are always there. Mm-hmm. And volunteers, we can't do it without the volunteers. They're so important too, and so many people praying for it. And we're doing good in that area. But I know Ryan's had quite a story. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want to share? I mean,
yeah.
How's it been for you?
Well, it's been tough.
Yeah.
Tell me what all you had to do, Ryan, to get back to where you are right now. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
Like therapy
issues.
Like so. After you had the brain bleed. You had to relearn what?
Walk, talk, eat, speak.
Yep.
Yeah, he didn't walk for 7 months. And it's not like he just started walking one day. Like he at least could lift a foot up.
It was almost 6 months before we started talking.
Yeah, about 5 or 6 months. He had a feeding tube for a year.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than going through a drive-thru and looking over at him. And I'll never forget
that. Brian's like drooling.
I know, he's just staring. You're like, oh my gosh. But I remember one day he was like, I want a burger. And I was like, what? I want a burger. I'm like, you can't eat. And I'm like, I'm going to get him one anyways. Yeah, basically, I want a burger. And so I got him one, and it took him about 2 hours. No, it took 45 minutes, and he ate about a quarter of it. But it was a big deal. But yeah, so, you know, he's had to do all that. He basically has missed out on most school since then. He's done a lot of what? PT, physical therapy? What else?
OT.
Occupational therapy.
Occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. Golf.
Yeah.
He can
golf one-handed. Mm-hmm. And beat you. Yeah, he's... Do you know some of your limitations that you've had because of this?
You mean like?
Vision?
Vision?
Yeah, what's it called? He always knows what it's called.
I know it's called...
Homonymous.
Homonymous hemianopsia.
Mm-hmm. Tell him what that is.
It's basically I'm half blind, I guess.
Yep, 50%.
I'd say 50%.
Yeah, 50% of your vision's gone on your left side of both eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So no left peripheral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you have some drop foot. And
yes.
Your left arm doesn't work yet, but we're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
What about your memory? That's the hardest
part. That's the toughest part about it.
Yeah, probably is. Your short-term memory.
Yeah.
But tell them what you're doing now.
But.
You're working.
Working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you doing?
Range attendant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the golf club.
Wood Forest Golf Club.
Yeah.
You like it?
I love it.
I think it's so important for everyone to get up every day and have a purpose. So I love that you're able to go work at the golf course. That is really amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Everybody loves them, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, he was just, he had a story told on a digital website, today's show, and we told him a story about Bullet, so he went to work the next day, and...
Everyone was calling me Bullet.
Yeah, I said, hey, Bullet, what's up?
He was that's because when it's lunchtime, how fast you go to eat.
Where's the love?
I know, right? Well, I know.
That's what they said.
And somebody said yesterday... that you spent $250 at lunch every day and you believed him.
Oh.
He goes, Mom, I think you need to lay off the
so
food.
Cool.
And I go, honey, I don't think you're spending that much. It'd be like your whole month pay on food. But yeah. I mean, I remember I went into surgery and I was really nervous and Ryan just looked over at me and said, Mom, it's not like it's brain surgery. And I was like, okay. You're right. I feel way better.
Yeah.
But Ryan has always kept his sense of humor.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think.
So, yeah. Ryan, what else helps you get through this?
Really? Aside from God?
That's what I was going to
say. Yeah.
You have a family.
Yeah.
You have a good relationship.
Yes.
How have you been able to share your faith with others throughout your journey as you've been healing from your brain bleed?
Like how?
Mm-hmm. I remember y'all had a picture of Jesus in your room. Do you remember that story?
Oh.
You mean the Prince of Peace one?
What?
Is that the name of the photo?
Yeah, but you had one in the ICU after one of your brain surgeries. It's so sad he's had so many. I don't remember.
The nurse was asking you about it?
Yeah, they said, "Who's that?" And you remember what you said? I don't know if you remember.
That's the Son of God.
You said, "That's your father."
Yeah.
She's like, "What?" Long story short, she came in the next day and she said, "I had researched that last night." Didn't she? Say she?
Well, so, yeah.
Yeah. So, we're calling you the Fisher of Men, you know? So, it was pretty cool. Brought someone to at least try to get to know who you're talking about. So,
yeah.
And do you remember, I love the story, Mark, about sitting in that chair over there?
Oh, yeah.
We've had some pretty amazing stories, but you remember sitting in the wheelchair over there?
Yeah.
And you were laughing?
You talking about Gabriel?
Yeah. 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 So when we got home, he's still in a wheelchair, of course, and so he'd sit next to me and in my recliner. And one day I looked over there, and he was like, talking, he was giggling. It's like, what are you doing?
He's like looking at the air.
He's like,
we're like, is he okay? Is this part of the brain healing?
Who are you talking to? He's like, Gabriel? Don't you see him? I'm like, no, I don't see him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he's really funny, Dad.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I know you used to point to the sky and talk about seeing angels.
Yeah, one time I tucked him in, and he was looking up at the ceiling and pointing and just smiling and giggling again. And I was looking up at the ceiling, and I'm like, what are we looking at? And he's like, Mom, the angels, you don't see them? And I was like, no, don't, you know. And I wanted to ask... I wanted to ask open-ended questions because I didn't want to put anything in his head.
Yeah.
And I have it all written down. It's really a neat story. I was freaking out because he was like, I said, well, what are they wearing? And he said, they're wearing purple. And they were all males.
Hmm.
And I said, how many are there? And he pointed at each one of them. And I think there were like 18 of them.
Hmm.
And then I was like, well, are they going to watch, help? Are they going to watch over you and you take a nap? And he said, yeah. And so I left the room, and at that point, we had a little baby monitor video in there because he had seizures, and he would fall if he, get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked in at the monitor when I got back out of the room, and he was still pointing and talking. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's there. I know they're there, even when you can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he's quiet, he's still working.
Absolutely.
Do you remember the golden book?
Yes.
Yeah. Remember what you said?
This is
what
funny.
You did to
about
me?
About you?
Yeah.
You didn't make it.
No, you did not say that.
Yeah, you said he showed you the golden book and all the names were in there. Mm-hmm. He looked at me and he said, it was a close call for you, Dad.
But you also,
hey, son.
You also said who else made it? Tough, the dog. Which I don't believe that for him.
Yeah,
I'll do that for a minute.
Oh my,
just kidding, Tuff. But yeah.
Maybe next time when I go up there.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But we've had some really, just when you think he's not there, stories like that. That
God winks.
Yeah, that you're like, yeah, God winks. That's a good word. Yeah. But yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're just really blessed. We've had... You know, you're doing really good and able to get a job and teach others. People love being around you. You radiate. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think
he just radiates.
Yeah, he does radiate, literally.
I think it's kind of important for our listeners to kind of understand the magnitude of what you went through. So when you were 12, you were very athletic, like you said, yes. Playing football, very healthy, you know, yeah. No one would know except for these headaches.
Really, really smart too. Really
very smart. Smart, very brilliant.
You still are.
Quick-witted.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely quick-witted.
And whenever you went through the brain bleed, like they talked about, your life changed really dramatically during the surgery. I will never forget that day. It was one of the worst day in our family's lives. When I showed up to the hospital late after Dr. Chin had already come out and informed us that the surgery had not gone very well. And then after that, you were in a coma for how many?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. Mm-hmm. You were in a coma and had to learn how to walk, talk, all of the basic life skills again. What would you say that's felt like from your end, having to relearn everything? And do you remember your first memory when you came out of surgery, out of the coma?
Good question, because still kind of fuzzy to me.
Yeah, they said he wouldn't remember anything in ICU, which he didn't, thank God. I think that's... And the funny thing is I didn't remember the first 48 hours very much. These nurses kept coming by, "Hey, Mr. Miss Logan." I'm like, "Who's that?" He's like, finally it was just like the first 48. He would just say it because I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I think my brain was trying to protect me. But what was your first memory? Do you remember being at TEER? It was inpatient rehab. Do you remember that? Yeah. You do?
Is that a little bit of it.
What do you remember? Anything?
Like,
do you remember going to therapy, or do you remember a specific person or something you did?
You mean, I don't remember her name, but...
Do you remember
that main PT?
Lady? Yeah, the main PT?
Jennifer.
Yes.
You remember her?
I remember her.
You remember your OT?
My OT?
Mm-hmm.
She was a little spitfire.
A little scrapper? We used to play jokes on her.
Yeah. There was a guy that worked there at TEER, and he would mop the floors. And he, mm-hmm. Mark told me that he would walk in every day. It's really, it's a neat place, but it's a very sad place.
Oh, yeah.
Because no one should be there that's there.
Everyone's in a really, really bad way.
Yeah. I mean, it's all brain injuries. And, you know, from car wrecks, motorcycle wrecks, ATV wrecks, strokes, falls. We saw everything. But this guy walked in every day, and mm-hmm. he was young.
Yeah.
20s, early 20s maybe.
Yeah.
He'd
come, you know, mop up the floors, take out the trash, and I think he had two jobs, he'd go to school. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know, you go into all these rooms, and it's so sad and depressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he said he went in our room, and... What did he say? There's joy, or?
Yeah,
yeah. Mm. Yeah, joy. He said, he'll just radiate joy. And I just think that we were just happy that he was there, for one, but, you know, mm-hmm. also just try to be positive for him and our other kids as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, not that we were really happy to be there, but we were in, you know, brain injuries, it was the top two place, second place in the world, you know, in the world for that kind of thing. So we lived, right. You know, right near it. So we're thankful for that too, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he just appreciated how we treated him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone else.
Yeah. Because it takes everyone in that whole entire system to.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it took a village to do this.
Going through a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see
how people radiating their frustrations on some of those workers, I guess.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely something to be said about every single one of your surgeries. There would be a completely full waiting room that they'd have to expand and have waiting rooms.
I said that was the most people I've ever had for a surgery.
we took over the hospital every time that you had a surgery. And we had prayer warriors and just so many people loving on and supporting you. And I think
that's what got us through it.
Absolutely. Can't we bring Chick-fil-A and we'd be scared and nervous in the waiting room, but also just supporting each other.
Yeah.
And
you had it gave us peace to have like everyone we love near us. So if something did happen, at least we had everybody there. And speaking of supporting your mom, she found out that he could start swallowing a little bit.
Yeah.
So every day she would come up to tear with what? Do you remember?
Dr. Pepper and
pudding.
Chocolate pudding, right?
Is it chocolate?
Well, chocolate and vanilla, whatever. And I mean to tell you, I think we had probably
life supply.
Yeah. I think that if there was ever World War III, people could come to our house and live off Dr. Pepper and pudding. It was so awesome. She's like, she'd come in with one in each hand.
We were sending cases back to the house of Dr. Pepper. Because you could only, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, just a one little sip. But she was so excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone's just so supportive. You can picture Aunt Bonnie doing that.
100%.
It's awesome.
Well, Ryan, I'm trying to think just like the before and after. So they talked about your short-term memory. You're kind of struggling with that. Sometimes you can't, like you'll see a movie and you won't remember what the movie was about, right?
Correct.
Remember what Taylor said?
What did Taylor say?
There was a guy, real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there was this, he was about in his 50s maybe, late 50s, and he was a tier one time. And he came out and said, Ryan, I've had to learn to walk, talk, eat twice. So when he was 25, he got in a car accident and had to learn how to do all that. And then he had a stroke on the operating table during a, they were trying to clean his carotid out or whatever. So he says, I can't remember anything. You know what he said? He said, you know, it's kind of cool though, because you can go to the movie one day with your sister and then go to the very same movie the next day with your mom. And he goes, and you don't even know you did it. It's so cool.
Great.
And then he said, you know, and sometimes I don't know what happens, so I just make up stuff. I just make it up.
It sounds familiar.
I thought, you know what, that's a good personality there. But anyways, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I love it. I love it.
But we were laughing. We're like, you know, that guy's really got a good attitude.
I love it.
It was so funny.
Oh.
We met lots of neat people, you know, and then there was... When you think you have it bad, there's always someone that has it worse. I remember being down there at rehab one time, the inpatient rehab. Well, this was outpatient, actually. And this guy came in with one leg, and he had his daughter was in a wheelchair. But I thought he was the patient, and I was asking him. He's like, oh, I'm not even the patient. He said, I'm a diabetic, and I went into surgery, and I came out, and my wife told him they could cut my leg off. And I was like, oh gosh, I'm sorry. But he said, but what happened was within that year, both his daughters were in a car accident, and one of them was killed and the other one was paralyzed from the waist down. And they had a really good attitude considering, and I know it could have been just the moment they were there, but you know, we got to meet a bunch of people in their worst moments.
Yeah.
And it really was interesting and eye-opening.
Give you perspective.
Yeah, it really does. And I know after all this, like, I'd be somewhere and you'd hear some people talking about chattering, maybe at lunch or something, about something really petty. And you're just like, is that your worst worry? Like, are you really going to be talking about that? I wish that was my life, but then I really don't, because it's really enlightening. To know what's important and not important. And, you know, in their defense, they don't know any different until you don't know what you don't know. But it's refreshing. You can focus on, you know, what's important, what's really important. And that's what you're going to eat for dinner and lunch and breakfast.
When I said I like Dr. Pepper... Not exactly what I meant.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to have Dr. Pepper for a while.
Well, That's why I really messed up. Is I told, told Ryan, if you you know,
trying to motivate
ever get off the peg tube, you know, and you learn how to eat, mm-hmm. I'll get you whatever you want. Mm-hmm. He has milked that.
Oh, so, sushi.
All these years.
Oh, yeah.
Red snapper.
It continues.
I mean, he. Did you remember that?
Why would I make it stop?
Well, I know, and he.
Well, I have to get a second job to pay for your food.
Well, that's on you.
He might have a short-term memory, but I think it's selective.
The long-term memory. That's what I was going to say.
Oh yeah, it's excellent.
You know, Ryan remembers everything from our childhood because we got together so many times as a kid, and you know everything.
Yep.
It's really unique how the brain heals differently. No patient, you know, with an AVM or any other TBI, all have very different healing. So it's so interesting that.
And well, you didn't tell me about his last surgery because he was having all the, not seizures, but a massive seizure activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when we went and saw Dr. Tannen.
Oh, yeah. We saw this doctor in the last surgery where they actually removed the remainder, the fourth surgery, when they removed the remainder of the AVM, they actually separated the right side of the brain from the left side of the brain because that was the only way to stop the seizure activity. He hasn't had any since. That's been 2019, so 5 years.
So that is one side of the brain is disconnected, correct? So he's only living off half a brain.
Yeah, and he's smarter than all of us. I know.
Yeah.
I remember one time he said a science teacher was like, he answered a question in class because he loves science, and they said, the teacher said, what is wrong with you? And he's like, he's got half a brain, and he's smarter than you guys. And I was like, oh my gosh, way to
motivate.
Yeah, way to motivate by hate. But it was funny.
So I guess y'all kind of touched on starting the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all put on a ton of events and fundraisers and also just spread awareness. You know, our family and y'all, we didn't know what an AVM is. Mm-hmm. So first letting people know what it is and what you can be aware
looking
of.
For.
And y'all are trying to find, y'all are securing funding in order to find a cure and better treatment options.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say that Dr. Chen was the one we're doing the research with. He was the first researcher in the world to make a true AVM in an animal model, and so they're able to worldwide study different treatment modalities to find a safer treatment. He really believes that you'll not ever have to open your brain again for that surgery, but also he said he believes this will spill out into other types of, you know, he's like, this could change my job to not really doing surgeries, you know, depending on how far it goes and what all it can affect, but they're trying to get to the cellular level of, you know, why is this happening and how can we shut that off?
Yeah.
So, and early detection is very important. So, I mean, he believes maybe even one day he'll be able to swab a baby's mouth and be able to tell.
Wow.
So, we'll see. You know, it was funny because originally, when he got diagnosed, this doctor came out, and he was an interventional radiologist, the original one. And he came out and said, I wouldn't touch it, even though it wasn't his job. He was just kind of reiterating what everyone else was saying. And he said, you know what, maybe in 20 years, who knows, there might be a pill you take and just it disappears. And we giggled, and that could very well be what's happening. So
that would be the dream.
We shall see.
It will.
I believe it.
We believe that God is using this awful thing that happened to you to be able to, you know, through Mark and Sherry and the AVM Foundation, to be able to hopefully find a cure so that other families don't have to go through what we've been through.
Yeah, you know, we know it's not going to help Ryan because his is, you know, done, but we are just, if we could just help one other person, hopefully many generations to come, but it'd really be awesome. I wouldn't want, you know, you to go through all this for nothing.
And something else is that anyone who kind of ends up having an AVM, y'all get connected with them and y'all are able to support. Y'all have supported people from all over the country. I remember there was a girl in Lubbock whenever I was in college at Texas Tech, and y'all were able to connect with them.
She was a basketball player, volleyball player.
Yeah,
I remember. No, she was in a game. She had a rupture on the court.
I just had someone, talking to someone else from Havana. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to get over to the United States to get some help, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's, you know, asking me stuff about visas. I say, well, that's really my department, but once you get over here, call me.
I'll future help division you. That we don't have.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be in that thing. But once she gets over here, I say, give me a call. I'll help you all I can. Yeah. But, you know, it's just a lot of people, especially in other countries, the doctors don't know what to do with them because it's rare. It's only 1% of Americans. And the average age of a bleed is 17 years old. So you see lots of kids. Lots of kids.
Well, is there anything else that y'all would like to share about Ryan's story or the AVM Foundation?
I think we covered just about everything.
Yeah, we were all over the place, huh? You want to say anything? Or?
I think so.
You've been quiet.
That about sums it up.
Ryan Logan for president. I'm just kidding. Yes. Yeah, you want to announce that you're going to run for president?
It's official.
It's 2024. It's a campaign year.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you so much for bringing about awareness and for taking the time to come. Yes, thank you, Ryan.
And all your support.
Yes, we're very grateful. And we'll have information in the podcast to link to the website and additional information about the AVM Foundation and Ryan's story. So thank you all for being here today.
Perfect.
Thank you, Brittany.
Take care.